Now, if you go looking for a definition of artificial intelligence, or better yet, try to write one yourself, you've got to come up with a whole lot of different ways of doing it. And artificial intelligence is not by any means perfect. It's nowhere near perfection, and it's nowhere near the kind of filmic presentation that we've often come to accept. So when it comes to numbers, where a child would understand that four cars and four balls and four ice cream cones are all the same in as much as there are four of them, what you might call fourness, computers have a real problem with that. Computer scientists have wrestled with this problem for a long time, and they might be getting closer. I've been speaking to Dr. Adam Stanton from Keele University's School of Computing and Mathematics, and this is how we started. I'm four, and I know I've got a picture of two apples. Adam, you're a computer. What do you need to know to figure that out?
Well, that's a very interesting question. I mean, I think a four-year-old is probably just beginning to be able to count. And what we're talking about with this kind of research is something that's a little bit further away from that kind of systematic approach to numbers. It's almost like an innate sense of what a quantity is. You know, perhaps 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe up to 10, 15. Mm-hmm. The idea that there is some amount of things that is bigger than some other amount of things. This is quite fundamental to the existence of an animal, let alone to a human being.
Right. I mean, if I give you I'm four. Let's make me the 4 year old, and you give me a list, and they're all the same. They're all apples, but there's actually 67 on the list. I'm mm-hmm. going to be lost. Mm-hmm. But if you're the computer and they're all exactly the same, that's kind of computer child's play to you, isn't it? You can easily handle lists of stuff that's all the same.
Absolutely, that's right. Somebody, of course, has had to program that computer to make it able to count up those 67 things so accurately. And in order to do that, they've not only had to implement some kind of counting system. But if we're talking about apples, or at least pictures of apples, then I think they're going to have implemented some way of knowing what apples look like.
Exactly. The computer is going to have to know what an apple is, isn't it? How do you do that?
Well, it's a very difficult problem, and it represents 40 or 50 years worth of research in computer vision, being able to take what is essentially a photograph, or a digital representation of an image, of a view of the world, and look at all of the numbers that make up that image, and work out actually, while some of those numbers are representative of apples, or they kind of, the numbers that represent green from here to here are part of this apple, and these ones aren't. Programming that into the computer from first principles is nigh on impossible. So The successful modern ways of doing this kind of thing, and we've seen examples of it all over the place in terms of Google's image search that can recognize what's in an image. These kind of systems have somehow learned from example what apples are, what that representation of an apple looks like in the picture, and they've learned this.
I mean, it's an amazing thought, though, isn't it? Because a computer's understanding of everything is digital, so it has to come down to ones and zeros and bits, doesn't it? And it's patterns of bits that this computer is recognizing.
That's exactly it. And so the way it works is after a kind of observation process of thousands and thousands of images, let's say of apples or other things, somehow we have to write some kind of statistical process which starts to pull out which aspects of all of these pictures of apples are common to all of the pictures, which aspects are always there when it's a picture of an apple, or which aspects are mostly there, which aspects are there 90% of the time or something. And if we get that statistical process right, then we can actually start to really have some confidence in looking at all of these features that are present in these images and coming to a conclusion and say, well, actually, you know, I'm 80% confident there's an apple in this picture or not.
And then if we continue this example, and maybe I'm five now, and somebody gives me a box with nine apples and an orange and says, count the apples in this box, if I'm good, I'm going to be able to do that, haven't I? But once again, I've introduced new complexity for a computer.
Absolutely. Well, in terms of the physicality of the apples, you mean, in terms of actually picking them up?
Yes, and about picking them out of the box, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a whole thing again, really, in terms of machines being able to understand the world in the same way that humans understand it. I think the human beings' view of the world entirely constructed from our experience, and that experience isn't just visual; it's not just auditory, but it's not just input; it's action. So we have, you know, for the first 5 years of our life, when you get to the point when you're a 5-year-old child and you're able to pick the apples easily without thinking of it out of the box and count them up, you've got 5 years worth of experience of trial and error in the world of statistical correlations in your head, which says, well, you know, if I make these muscle movements, if I, you know, if I reach in this way, if I put my fingers here, I'm expecting a feeling that feels like this, and all of these things, you know, the commonalities are pulled out of all of that experience over those 5 years, in order for that 5-year-old child to really have a fundamental intrinsic understanding of apples and their existence and in relation to the child's body. And that's something that, you know, this kind of research that we're talking about today, it's just opening the door to that kind of deep
that kind of ability. Yeah,
and deep connection between the body and the world.
Yes, yeah. If I understand your presentation of this correctly, then a computer is going to have seen literally a million boxes of nine apples and one orange, and it will finally get the idea. It needs to have done just enormous repetition, doesn't it? And then it's going to catch on.
Well, that's true, absolutely. That's not to say that the principles at the heart of the way that this particular computer system we're talking about is operating, and the principles that have kind of governed not only the learning in somebody's lifetime from when they're born to when they're 5 years old, but the kind of adaptation and the adaptive processes that evolution has undertaken for millions of years. You know, there's perhaps some kind of commonality there which has resulted in a similar way of extracting structure from experience.
But with all the power that computers now have, there is a jump that is beginning to take place. That's the really interesting and exciting thing, isn't it? Exciting if you're not scared by it. And what is that jump?
I think this research we're talking about, it's really impressive. It lends a huge amount of support to the idea that we're on the right track to understand some quite fundamental stuff about how animals and people are extracting knowledge from their experiences. And this, of course, I mean, in ways I think that I was just alluding to with our example, it could boost a lot of practical research. Robot behavior, for example, is a good example. If these mechanisms can come up with a sense of number on their own, which is what's happened in this research, you know, this a conceptual, a visceral conceptualization of the quantity of 3 or 4 or 5 is existent in a computer system without any external direction towards
any,
that.
Any so human encouragement. So suddenly the computer understands that there's a similarity between 4 apples and 4 oranges. And
that's
that
right.
Number 4.
Yeah. And that's a natural consequence of the way that these adaptive learning systems are organized. If these systems can come up with a concept of number or numerosity on their own, perhaps there's other important things that we haven't thought of or haven't yet got to grips with in terms of intelligent machines or adaptive machines. Perhaps other things are going to pop up as well. Maybe using this kind of system to figure out the possible actions that a robot body can do, you know, an exploratory almost like motor babbling, it's called, when you explore what your body can do and you learn more and more complicated things that you can stack up when you're using it. You know, maybe this kind of learning system can be a gateway to some new level of adaptive control in robotics. It's even possible that systems like this can learn a sense of cause and effect through observation. You can see that, you know, 99 times out of 100, this follows this, and that abstraction can be pulled out of the experience that the machine has had. So in that way, it might lead to a more advanced capacity to anticipate and plan, and again, a more adaptive machine. But I think everyone recognizes that AI is a bit of an abused term these days, and we're a long way from that.
Well, that's the last point that I would ask you to make, which is that these are the current limitations of what we, in our simplistic way, in the outside, call artificial intelligence. It's not very intelligent yet, really.
Well, in reality, I mean, I think the dream of certainly human level general behavior is miles away still. And even behavior as complicated and adaptable as what an insect would do, it seems pretty distant as far as our ability to build such a thing is concerned. But you know, and we have to remember that these machine learning systems that we're talking about, they're kind of like they're modeled perhaps a little bit on the way a vision, a mammalian vision system works, but it's disembodied. It's trained with millions of images, as you said. It's got no intrinsic motivation of its own to do anything in the world. A generally intelligent system would have to go a long way beyond this. It would have to solve all of these problems. But I work in a field called artificial life, rather than the pure machine learning end of AI. And my personal thinking now, it's probably shared by many of my colleagues in that field, is that life and this kind of general intelligence that we're talking about, this sort of sci-fi intelligence, the human level intelligence, they overlap almost completely. We need to build artificial living systems to get some kind of general AI. These deep learning systems that we've talked about with the research that's discovered this numerosity, they solve some of the problems that we need to do that, but there's way more crazy stuff to discover and build before we get there.
Dr. Adam Stanton, with our introduction to the world as it is now in artificial intelligence. Wolves and bears